You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bamidbar. And towards the end of our Parsha, we have an interesting pasuk. It's speaking about the idea of the Kelim, the different parts of the Mishkan, the tabernacle that were carried by different groups of the Levium, of the Levites. And it says, like this, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes Zayin, Ufukudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyin. The high priest at that time was Elazar. Actually, this is before he would become the high priest. He was destined to be the high priest. But Elazar, the son of Aaron, so he had a certain job. He was in charge, in the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, of overseeing Shemen HaMaor, the oil which was used for lighting, Keteres HaSamim, and the incense, Uminchas HaTamid, the flower offering of the Tamid, Veshemen HaMishcha, and the oil which was used to be placed upon the different vessels. V'kudas kol HaMishkan asher v'chol asher boi, v'kodesh v'kelov. He was in charge of the entire Mishkan, everything in it, in the holy, and its vessels. That's a pasuk. Now, I'd like to share with you our Medrash, but before I share with you the Medrash, I'd like to point out that the Medrash is brought, or a similar idea is brought in the Ramban. So, again, in the Pashup Shad, it means that he's in charge. He oversees, he directs. He's not actually personally carrying the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen HaMaor, the oil which was used for lighting the menorah, the ketores, the etc. These different things that we mentioned. He would direct things. But there's the Yerushalmi, and we'll see the Medrash says it as well. The Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi. Avaldas Yerushalmi akos beferish Rashi, shunayse oisam, yemasa gadol. The Yerushalmi is in Shabbos, Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel, that he would actually personally carry all of these things. Okay? Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen is carrying, and this is a huge amount. Yemasa gadol, says the Ramban, it's a very large and difficult thing to carry. Ki haketores shin samech heimana. The keteres was 365 portions. Moshe Rabbeinu lo pitma lechatzayin. It wasn't done halfway. V'shemen ha-ma'or l'shana shlema rav ma'oid. Kuf pei gimel lugin. The amount of oil that was needed for the menorah was 183 lug. It's a very large amount. And as far as the flour for the tamid, we don't know how many days he needed to carry. But says the Ramban, which is what our Medrash says, we find that Yaakov Avinu is described as a very strong human being. He was able to single-handedly roll off this huge stone that required a number of shepherds or a whole group of shepherds to be able to push off. Elazar was also superhumanly strong. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu also had superhuman strength as well as Aaron, his brother. The Ramban finishes off and says, those who seek Hashem will have intense strength. Okay? So, that's the basic gist of what the Pasuk is talking about. The Pasuk Pshat is he oversaw it. The deeper Pshat is that he actually carried it himself with superhuman strength. And our Medrash, in speaking about this idea, teaches us an amazing thing. Fugudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen v'Goymer brings our Pasuk, Ha'adau d'chsiv, Al tishale lefnei melech v'mekam gedoin l'mal tamoid. Pasuk says, when you are in front of a king, don't worry about your own honor in front of a king. That's not your job. When you come in front of a king, your job is not to impress anyone. Your job is just to give honor to the king. Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Vav. So, says the magician, if you're in front of a human king, and we find that you need to show a proper respect and lower yourself. So if you are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God Himself, you are serving Hashem, you also have to act with shiflus, you need to act with humility. Utineinon, we find, it says in the Mishnah Novas, Heveozka, Namer, Vekal, Kanesher, be brazen like a leopard, light as an eagle, Verotz Katzvi, running like a deer, Vigibor Ka'ari, and mighty like a lion, Lasais Vitzayin Avicha Shabashmaim. Which means to say, it might look bad what you're doing. You're running like a madman in order to get to shul on time. You are tough as nails. You're brazen to do what's right. You act with chutzpah. But you do the things that you need to do, because when it comes to serving Hashem, there's no such thing as my pride. My pride is gone. Okay, and think about it in terms of Elazar HaKohen, who's going to be the high priest. He's, let's say, in the Peshat of the Yerushalmi, he's carrying the oil himself in one arm, as we're going to see in the Medrash. Maybe I'll read it soon. It's really at the end, but maybe I'll read it first. But he would carry it in one arm and another arm, and he has stuff. He had tons of pockets, filling up the pockets. Is that not... That's the honor of a Kohen Gadol, of a high priest. He's got oil spilling all over him. He's got flour everywhere. He looks like a baker. Is that the honor of the Kohen Gadol? Eliyahu says, and I think it's Eliyahu Anovi, Kol amar b'kavod shamayim amayi kvod atzmoi. Any person who's concerned about making the honor of heaven greater, and in so doing has to limit his own honor. What happens is, the honor of heaven becomes greater, and his own honor becomes greater. And whoever wants to minimize the honor of heaven for his own honor, the honor of heaven stays in its place. You can't really dishonor Hashem. But the person's honor becomes smaller. Okay? So, that's the foundational yisoid. When it comes to serving Hashem, when it comes to honoring Hashem, I give up my own honor, and in so doing, I get the greatest honor. So I'd like to read to you just the end of this medrash. So it goes on for pages and pages and pages. I'm going to just read to you some snippets, some pieces of it. But at the very end of the medrash, it says, he's in charge of all these things. He's in charge of the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen HaMaor, the different oils, the Ketairos, the incense. He's in charge. How can he carry all these things? That's a lot of stuff to carry. I'm a rabbi saying, our sages say, this is how he would carry it. Shemen HaMaor b'minoi. And understand, whenever it says a concept of right and left, he's going to hold the Shemen HaMaor in his right hand. So these always have deeper spiritual, Kabbalistic implications. The right hand is Chesed, the left hand is Gvura. Shemen HaMaor b'yaminoi. He held, let's take it for the Pashup shot here. He held the oil, which was lit on a menorah, in his right hand. Ketores HaSamim b'smailoi. He held in his left hand the incense. Menchas HaTamid shal yoyim tluya b'zrayoi. And the mincha of the tamid, the flower for the constant offering, was hung around his neck. Okay. Ben ha'arbayim hechon ha'yonosin. I'm not sure what that's referring to exactly, but how is it? How did he have it? Rav Shimon ben Yochai, kimin sleches kitana hayotal ba pundasa, mipnei shayachoger masna bezina yavin lefnei koinei. He had tons of pockets, as I'm unfortunately explained here. He had some kind of small garment that had lots of pockets, and he was able to put it in his pockets. Okay? Loidiach hashein gavol lefnei alakim. He was like a servant in front of his master. There's no personal pride when it comes to serving Hashem. If you have flour popping out here, you have incense popping out there, you have oil popping, every arm is full. You carry it all. You carry it all. It's all of it is Hashem. You carry it all. And I would think about it conceptually as the menorah is the light. Of course, that's the Torah. The incense is kapara, right? In the Kohen Gadol's Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, she would bring in the kapara. He's concerned about the Jewish people's atonement, the constant offering, the mincha, the flour. It's the bread of the Jewish people. Karbani lachmi lishai. The Kohen Gadol, the true leader of the Jewish people, is concerned about everybody, everything, all of the different aspects of Avodas Hashem, and service of Hashem infuses every aspect of a person's day and a person's life. There's no place that's devoid of an opportunity to serve Hashem. And the Kohen Gadol carries it all with pride. He carries it all with pride. That's what it means to be a Kohen Gadol, to be a high priest. I carry all of the different aspects of Avodas Hashem. It's the Torah, it's the Kapara, it's the daily service, it's the bread of the Jewish people. I carry it all. There's nothing that's too small for the Kohen Gadol to carry. Okay, that's the basic concept. He brings here a story. There was a guy who, he was sad. He regretted the fact that in his youth he hadn't learned how to learn Torah. He hadn't studied. He hadn't had an opportunity to go over that which he studied. This guy was standing one time in shul. They got to Kedusha in shul, in Shmoneh Esrei, in Chazar Sashatz. And this guy who didn't know anything, he got up and he said very loudly, Kadesh, 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 Hashem Tzavakais. Holy, holy, holy is Hashem, the Lord of hosts. So he did it in such a way that people were a little, perhaps, astonished. They came over to him after davening and said to him, why did you say it so loud? He says, I wasn't someone who merited to study, not Torah and not Gemara. But when I get to shul, at least I can say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos. I can say God is holy. I can honor Hashem with what I know how to say. I know how to say Kedusha. So I said it with all of my heart. V'toshuv nafshi olai. Let my soul return to me. He felt a sense of satisfaction spiritually from having that opportunity. Which, by the way, really means to say at its depth that he recognized that no matter where a person is, they can serve Hashem where they are. The person didn't merit, of course, we should try to learn. Of course, we gotta know stuff. But if a person is in a situation where he wasn't able to, it's not impossible for him to serve Hashem from where he is. The year didn't even end. That year didn't complete. That same year, it happened that he went from Babylonia to the land of Israel. He made Aliyah. He was made into a significant officer by the Caesar. He was in charge of all of the forts of the land of Israel. They gave him a place and he built a city and he lived there. He was somebody who didn't have to pay any taxes, says the Etz Yosef. But maybe it also means it can be a language of, oh, maybe not. I'll skip that. Just go with the pshat here. Okay? Okay, so we learn from here that he, like, think about it. The guy doesn't know anything. He could just walk in the shul and be quiet. in a certain sense, he embarrassed himself because he did what he felt was right in serving Hashem and honoring Hashem in the best way that he could. And so we see that those who stand up for their own honor, the Medrash, I didn't read it, but there's another story of those who didn't stand up for Hashem's honor and they were embarrassed. Those who do stand up for Hashem's honor, they are praised and all good things come. Says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Lamed, Ki mechabdai achabedu vozai yekalu. Those who honor me, Hashem says, I will honor. And those who do not honor me, those who embarrass me, as it were, so they will lose their honor. Another Medrash goes in at length and speaks about v'chena tamitzi b'David melech Yisrael. We find a similar concept by King David. Now, a few weeks ago, actually, we read this parsha. I'm going to read to you some of it inside. We read it in the Haftorah, and I was called up to read it, actually. And I was very moved by the story. King David, David HaMelech. So maybe we'll just say it outside instead of reading it in the Navi. But basically, David HaMelech is bringing the Aron back. The Aron was captured. The Aron HaKadosh, the Aron HaBris, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Plishtim, by the enemies of the Jewish people, the Philistines. And they saw that as a result of it being in their presence, it was causing massive destruction. People were dying. So they sent back the Aron first to Beit Shemesh, actually, to here. Didn't work out so well. They didn't show it proper honor. And then it was sent to Kiryas Yearim, which is Tellstone today. They sent it to Kiryas Yearim. Actually, if you go into Tellstone, which I do, actually, I teach there on Thursdays. So when you drive into the Knesset of Tellstone, there's like a model. Doesn't look really like the Kruvim don't look like Kruvim. There's a model of the Ark of the Covenant because there in Kiryas Yearim it stayed and they honored the Aron, they showed it proper kavod. And now David HaMelech wants to bring back the Aron from Kiryas Yearim, from that area to its rightful place, its rightful home. And at that time, there was no Beis HaMikdash yet. It was right before the Beis HaMikdash would be built to its place in the Mishkan. We see throughout the story with David HaMelech, he does everything that he can to show honor to the Aron. He goes out of his way, and he does it in a way which, at times, looks like he's embarrassing himself, but he's really showing honor to the Aron. And at the end of the story, so he's dancing and he's mecharker. We'll see what that means. He makes these kind of sounds like a bird, maybe. And he's mecharker and he dances and he does it in a way which his wife felt was not befitting to a king. Michal, who was the daughter of Shaul, felt it wasn't befitting to the king. And as I read it, personally, as I read this a few weeks ago, I was very moved by it. I was like, I was touched that David HaMelech, King David, king of the Jewish people, would show such deep love. Love. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for the Aron and for the return of the Aron to its proper place. Such that he would do something which people could see and say, that's not appropriate for a king. But he didn't care. He did what he felt was right. He showed the ultimate respect for the Aron, even though at the expense of his own respect. And Michal, his wife, didn't think it was correct because she had learned in her father's home, in King Shaul's home, that sometimes it's important that the king, not sometimes, of course, a king has to have a certain self-respect. Every person has to have a certain self-respect. But Michal and the Masorah that she had from Shaul was, unfortunately, sometimes that one's self-respect would supersede the respect of Hashem. And David understood I'd like to see more about this. We still have some time. But David understood that the respect of Hashem supersedes one's own respect. So there's a few different themes within the story, and one of them is that the pasuk says that David didn't just go by himself. He brought it from the house of Avinadav to bring it to Jerusalem. He got together 30,000 young men. He said, I'm not going to bring the Aron back to its place quietly. We have to make fanfare, full fanfare. He took counsel with many great, wise people. He got together, he asked what he should do, and everyone agreed. And it's important, by the way, this is a very deep thing in serving Hashem. When we're serving Hashem, we might have an idea. We got to check out, make sure the idea is correct. You got to ask others. You got to ask other people who their whole life is serving Hashem. But he discussed it and he came to the conclusion that yes, we should involve tens of thousands of people, if not more. And the Medrash goes on to bring how they came from all over. They came from Judah. They came from all over the land of Israel. Tens of thousands, and they came to escort the Aron. And there was a mistake that was made, that Uzzah tried to stick out his hand to carry the Aron, because it looked like it was going to fall off of the wagon. It was on a wagon. And that was a mistake that King David had made, that he put it on a wagon instead of, it's supposed to be carried by the Levim, the Levites, as we find in our Parsha. It's a simple mistake. How he made such a mistake, the Medrash explains. I'd like to just touch on it for a moment. Barakivas Arnalikim, Pasuk says, they put it onto a wagon, Lainasu Katara. They didn't carry it according to the way the Torah says to carry it, Sharik Sivil of Nekahas. It's supposed to be carried by the B'nai Kahas. It's supposed to be carried by the Kohan, by the Levium, the Kohanim. B'nai Man Nenash. Why did he forget this halacha? It's something everybody knows. And this is an important insight as well, an important foundational idea. David HaMelech referred to the Torah as a song, right? And the problem with him calling it a song was that Shenemar Zmiris Ayuli Chukecha. Hashem says, look, the pasuk says it's so easy to lose the Torah. You have to have your full heart in the Torah. You have to always be involved in the Torah. When you call the Torah a song, it means to say it's something that just rolls off my lips. What is a song? A song, you know, you're just walking along and you're humming a tune, not even thinking about it. The Torah is not something that you just do and you don't think about it. It's something that you have to constantly be reinforcing within yourself deeper and deeper. So, you're calling it a song, David HaMelech? You're going to make a mistake that even the kids know, little kids know this, because they've said it over and over again. And the children know the psukim by heart. And David HaMelech, you're going to forget this simple thing that it's supposed to be carried by the B'nai Kahas. That caused the mistake, caused Uzzah to be killed. David HaMelech was very upset by that. He ended up putting it in a different place, in the base Ovid HaDaimi, until it was time to bring it to Yerushalayim. But there is a lack of respect. Human beings have to be the ones carrying it, not a wagon. The human being carrying something is a respect. You know, I was discussing today with my daughter about AI music. There's something, or AI art. There's something about the human being doing it. Something about the person changing. The music comes through me. I developed it myself. Hashem put it into my heart. A person creates art. They developed it themselves. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it's something that's mechanical, just a kind of combination of all of the art that exists in the world, that's lacking in the power that it has on the person. The Zemer is just the song that comes out. It's just da-di-da-di-dam, da-di-da-di-dam. The Torah is not like that. The Torah is something that has to be processed through the human being. Just the AI can also answer a halachic question, right? You turn it in, it's going to quote you from here and there and everywhere. But there's something about the human being processing it, learning it, change that changes the person. That's what the Torah is. And when we don't have that recognition, that's the human being who needs to carry the Aron. Not a wagon, not something mechanical. I have to do it. It's got to change me. That's the lesson that was lost. And Uzzah lost his life because of that. And David was very disturbed by that. Vayichar le-David. Pasuk says, not af. Okay. So what happens? So David brings it in. And the pasuk says, "V'David mecharker b'chol ois lifnei Hashem," as we said, we're going to talk about this mecharker, which means to, like a tarnigal, a chicken, a rooster makes these noises, buck, 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 right? So he was making noises. He was making funny noises. Says the Medrash, "V'yu rei kam abizu David atzmei l'chvoide shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Come and see how much David HaMelech embarrass himself in order to honor Hashem. He should have been walking like a king in his royal garments, respectful, marching, showing honor quietly. That's not what he did. He wore beautiful clothes, of course, in honor of the Aron. He was like making sameach. He was making freilach in front of the Aron. Okay. He was mecharker, says the Medrash like this. His wife sees him being mefazes and mecharker. Michal saw it and she felt embarrassed for him. He was clapping. He was dancing. His feet were up in the air. It was like sounds of bells. Maybe it's not exactly clear exactly what they were, but they were these golden bells. And he was singing Kiri Ram. What is Mecharker? Major says he was saying, Kiridam, 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 Ram, Kiridam, Kiridam, Ram, Ram, Ram. He was just like just singing joyfully. Maybe he just did that. He was just clapping. He was just singing. He was kicking up his feet in the air. It says, it says that he was dancing and joking. Just making freilich. Bottom line, that's what he says to her. When she says to him, that's not the proper honor. It's not the proper honor. He says, no, this is the honor. And he says, that's the difference between my approach and the approach of your father's house. Your father's house were more concerned, and their own honor superseded the honor of Hashem. Va'ani eini isakein, but I don't do that. My goal is to honor Hashem more than my own self. I'll do whatever it takes, even if it looks like something that's not honorable for me. That's the greatest honor. The one who honors Hashem, gives up his own honor, he is truly honored. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to recognize this thing, to try our best to serve Hashem in whatever way we need to. Az kanomer, kal kanesher. Run to the mitzvah. Be brazen if needed. Hashem should help us to do that, to indeed get the real honor, which is when we honor Hashem. Thank you so much for listening. Have an amazing Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.